We're doing Rambam's letter to the Jews who were under duress for forced conversion, and we're using the Mosader of Cook edition of Igeret Hashmad, and we're up to page Mem Gimel. The Rambam has spent the first part of the letter arguing against someone, we don't know who, someone who had publicized his opinion as to what people should do. And he thought he was being stringent when he said that if a person goes into a mosque, then he's no longer part of the Jewish people and all his mitzvot are worthless. And the Rambam says, how dare you say that? That's not called being stringent. That's called being off. It's not right. And so the Rambam repeatedly proved how this person, in their intentions to be zealous and stringent, is off the mark. What they've said is not halachic. The Rambam has yet to tell us what the halacha is. What the Rambam is first doing is he's telling the crowd that had hitherto been exposed to this person's opinion plastered, I don't know if it was on the bulletin boards or it was disseminated as letters, but the masses had been exposed to this opinion, and the Rambam is first illustrating how wrong this person and his writings are. And had we not decided in the beginning of this work that we won't bother mentioning every single thing that this person wrote, the Rambam says about him, if I wouldn't have decided from the beginning not to, I would take him apart piece by piece, as the Rambam. But I decided I'm not going to dedicate the letter to go through everything he says. How a person can foolishly destroy themselves to the point where they say such nonsense as the Rambam. And he answers when someone questions him, as we mentioned earlier, they asked him if a Jew is asked, should he say that he believes Muhammad was sent as a prophet, or should he die? And the person, instead of giving an answer, gave all kinds of answers that were off, says the Rambam. And he brings proofs from different laws of the Torah. Edim Zomemim, false witnesses. A person who blasphemes, curses their parents. A person who has the mitzvah of tzitzit, one who plows with a donkey and an ox. A person who crossbreeds animals. Ke'ilu ushal mimenu sheichaber lo azarot. As though his job now was to do a review of all the 613 mitzvot. Yimine ve'en kol ha-mitzvot v'mar k'mochen. So he says the guy goes on and on to the wrong end, to the wrong point. And he says, Shishmaelim yishlam avdaz rab b'mekov v'mkomot acharim. He declares that the Muslims worship an idol in Mecca. Now, they had a temple in Mecca that preceded Islam. And in that temple, before Muhammad came along, in that temple was a black stone called the stone, the Kaaba. What? Well, I don't know.
They still have today.
Yeah. Okay. In the pagan times, people used to worship many idols in Mecca, and one of them was this stone. And the Muslims in the Rambam's time still valued that stone tremendously. That's the Ibn Ezra, in his commentary on Daniel, says that in his day, the Muslims used to come and throw rocks at that stone, and this was an evolvement of the pagan worship of Marculis, where in the Torah's time, in the Talmud's time, they used to worship, they used to have an idol worship called Marculis, where they would erect three stones and then throw another rock at them. And that was the way they worshipped Marculis. So the Muslims used to come, the Ibn Ezra says, 800 years ago, 600 years ago, 700 years ago, the Muslims used to come and throw rocks at that rock. And this, he says, was a continuation of the customs, the ancient pagan customs of Marculis, which were practiced over there. Okay, there are other sources. So, again, The Muslims said Mecca is holy because Muhammad was born there, and that every Muslim must visit Mecca at least once in their lifetime. That's what the Muslims say. But Mecca had already been a place of paganism long before the Muslims came to the scene or Muhammad was born. So this man had written that the Muslims have an idol they worship in Mecca and in other places. He says, but what did the guy ask him? The guy asked him, if I walk into a mosque, is that punishable by death just like serving an idol? Is it the same thing that I have to give up my life rather than serve an idol? Do I also have to give up my life rather than go to a mosque? Well, the guy didn't ask him if he should go to Mecca. He didn't ask him if he should go to places where they worship idols. It's as though the guy had asked him, "Im yaleh l'chok n'Mekka o lo?" The guy, so Rambam says, he answered a question that he wasn't asked. He was asked a different question. And one of the lines this person wrote is that Muhammad, now Rambam calls Muhammad the insane one. And that's how other commentaries refer to him. Why he was called the insane one, there are different explanations. Some say because he insanely thought that he could force other people to convert to his religion by the power of the sword. I don't know. I once saw an explanation, which they don't bring over here. I don't see it over here, that Muhammad had epilepsy. And so they would... The Muslims, his first students, were sure that this was all part of his prophetic visions, when he would have seizures and attacks. And Chazal, or the Rishonim, they said the guy has an illness that causes him to act insane at times, and that's why they used that nickname. Obviously, there were probably negative connotations to the nickname as well. I'm saying, let's not overlook the obvious, right? This person had written that the insane one had killed 24,000 Jews. Did someone ask him if Muhammad has a portion in the world to come, says the Rambam? That wasn't the question at hand. The question was, should one give up their life rather than walk into a mosque? You're telling me Muhammad won't get the world to come, he killed 24,000 Jews. That wasn't the question. And the Rambam says you have many times where the answer does not meet up with the question. The Rambam says this author should have taken note of what King Solomon said. Shlomo Melech said in Kohelet, in Ecclesiastes, don't let your mouth speak quickly. And your heart shouldn't be quick to say something before God. If he would have taken note of this verse, he would have known. Whenever a person gives halachic ruling, someone asks him a question, even if he's telling him this meat is kosher or this dish is kosher, he is not just answering a human, he is standing before his creator and giving that answer. And had this person taken these answers as seriously as he should have, he wouldn't have made the mistakes he had. So that's the Rambam's attack on this person. And Hashem knows, and Hashem is my witness, and I don't need more than that, says the Rambam. Shilu cheref yoter mima shecheref, osef gidrim yoter ma shosif, lo tazikenu zeh, ve lo vikashnu ezer la'atzmenu b'shum panim. The Rambam says, you should know that ordinarily I don't get upset. I ordinarily, when you read my, when you speak to me, when you see me, I'm not a person who angers or gets upset. But the Rambam says, if that person would know, if that person would just curse me out, I wouldn't care, because I don't mind. If the person would have written a letter twice as long and spent the whole letter cursing me, I wouldn't have gotten upset. The problem is that he wrote things that I cannot remain silent to. So the Rambam writes, Hashem is my witness, and I don't need more than that. That if the person would have cursed me out and written a longer letter than he had, It wouldn't have bothered me. I don't mind if a person writes a long letter cursing me out personally. I wouldn't have even asked anyone's assistance, how do I deal with this person? What I would have said is, let me sleep in my shame. Because Hashem knows I've transgressed before Him, and so if someone shames me, that's not the end of the world. I deserve it, says the Rambam. And if he would have focused his letter on embarrassing me, says the Rambam, I would have given him great honor. I would have said, this person must mean for the sake of heaven, that's why he's saying bad things about me. Because I know, says the Rambam, that I know how unworthy I am. And so if someone puts me down, I won't say, oh, that person's wrong. Hashem, we know what we've done wrong. We know how sinful we are, says the Rambam. And I wouldn't have taken issue with the person had he not written things that it's not right for me to forgo and be silent about. He said a line, says the Rambam, and this line, says the Rambam, I just couldn't let it go by. He said, "Shemi shitpalel man sheashmad, en lo sechar batfinayi." He said, when people caved in under these forced conversions and said, yes, they believe in Muhammad and they bowed in the mosques, so this person wrote about those people that when they pray, they get no wages for that prayer. And he said a line that went so far, he said, if one of these people pray, it's a transgression, it's a sin. And the problem with such a thing is that whenever a person publishes, whenever you put it in writing, then it gains public attention. And the Rambam says, that's one of the reasons why people have all kinds of mistakes. People believe in all kinds of things. I guarded my tongue in the beginning of the previous class. There was a guest in the classroom, and he said to me in the beginning of the class, I have to leave. I said, fine. He said, no, you don't understand. There's the segula I have to do to pray at a certain burial place, because whoever prays there, their prayers get answered, and people get their wealth, and people find their wives, and whatever you ask for at that grave, you get answered. And I smiled, and I really had to contain myself, because I felt like telling him, so you don't need God anymore, right? You have that burial plot. You pray there, and whatever you ask for, you get, right? Who needs to go to shul anymore? So, people believe things. Says the Rambam, why do people believe things? Because people publish things. And when something gets published, so then people tend to believe the written word. If a person writes something in a book, so then he can create a cult. He can get a following, because people tend to believe what's written. So the Rambam says, so when this person publicized his mistakes, and his mistakes were so sharp, he's telling people, if you did one thing wrong, don't bother doing anything else right. That's terrible. Think of what's going to happen. Rambam says, I had to stand up. If we think about it, what's the Rambam faced with? You have a community where many people in the community have caved in and gone to the mosques. Now, this person told them, if you go to the mosque, don't bother keeping other mitzvot. So he meant to be stringent. But Rambam says, but what's going to come out of that? Aside from the fact that it's an error. But the outcome of that error is destruction. So these people will completely cease to observe mitzvot. That's not right. So we were concerned that what he wrote, his letter, which is so insightful against serving Hashem. When a person writes such a thing, what's he saying? You did one transgression, so don't bother doing other mitzvot. He's telling people to leave the service of Hashem. Such a letter could come in the hands of the common folk. Person's going to say, if I get no wages, if it's a sin if I pray, okay, I won't pray. This person says, you do any other mitzvah, it's worthless. So what are people going to say? So then I won't do any other mitzvot. Shlo yelo sechar maase achat men, because he's telling him you have no more wages for any mitzvah you do. Well, you know what a destruction can come of that. So the Rambam says, now I have to talk, and that's why I'm going to address this person. I'm going to address this issue because I don't have a choice. If it were a personal issue, says the Rambam, I'd be quiet. If a person puts me down and shames me, good. There might be truth to it, and even if there isn't truth to it, it's good for me to suffer some shame. So the Rambam says that I wouldn't have fought. But this I have to fight. And that brings us to the conclusion of the second section of this letter.